You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from the offices of Newmark Grubb Knight Frank. This is your host, Herb Cohn, with my co-hosts, Christine Miles, CI Squared, Brian Neary, Newmark Grubb Knight Frank, Ethan Milrod, GoTo, Phil Oregi, Saber Systems, and David Hitt, Splat Inc. And we have a great lineup of guests for you on our show today. Christine, will you please give us the rundown?
Sure. We have Mark Rosenberg, managing and founding partner, Mammoth and Rosenberg. We have Mike Sale, managing attorney, Cordisco and Sale LLC. Stuart Carpy, attorney at law, Carpy Law. And Steve Wolf, attorney at law, Stephen E. Wolf, attorney at law.
Let's get to know our first guest, Mark Rosenberg, managing and founding partner, Mammoth and Rosenberg. Mark, what is Mammoth and Rosenberg? What are you guys doing?
Mammoth and Rosenberg is a personal injury firm, and we have offices in New Jersey and Pennsylvania.
Uh-huh. All right. And where are you from originally?
I was born in Brooklyn and raised all over the Midwest.
How many different schools did you go to in total or in any one grade or whatever that looks like?
I would estimate between 10 to 15.
Oh, my gosh. How many schools, when we were talking earlier, how many schools did you go to in the fourth grade, for the fourth grade?
Fourth grade was busy. We moved four times.
You moved four times in fourth grade. Okay. So all this moving in fourth grade and all these different schools prior to graduating high school, what'd that do to you? How'd that affect you?
Well, it made me appreciate people and the differences that people bring to the table, depending on where they are geographically, emotionally, socially.
What do you mean geographically? What are you talking about emotionally, geographically, socially? What do you know that I don't know? What did you learn from those experiences?
Well, I know that Whitehall, Wisconsin has 1,000 people, which is different than Fort Lee, New Jersey, that's right over the bridge from New York City.
Yeah, how does that make the people different? What did you see different in the people?
What people think are important, how they relate, their value systems, their social habits are all very, very different.
And you tuned into that because you moved around so much. It must have been pretty difficult moving around so much.
I'll say challenging.
Uh-huh. So how does that help you in your law practice, the fact that you've lived in many different places and appreciate, you know, the differences of who people are dependent upon where they live and the size of the city they're in and stuff like that? How does that help the law practice?
Well, I have a fascination for people, and as a personal injury lawyer, you're relating to a jury, you're relating to your client, you're relating to the corporation sitting across the table from you, and their value system and what they bring to the table is very different, and so that's very important to understand as you're relating to them.
Uh-huh. You mentioned that mom had some issues going on. Tell us a little bit about what was going on there and the role you played in that whole process.
Well, my mom was from Brooklyn and dragged across the Midwest by my father moving all over the place, and that's a little hard on somebody. So I was there to help her navigate all of that.
Maya mentioned that mom had some issues going on and that you stepped up to the plate to help navigate those issues. You felt a responsibility, it sounds like.
I don't know that it was that thought out. I mean, it was a survival issue. I needed her to survive for me to survive.
So you took responsibility at a young age, a lot of responsibility.
I did.
Uh-huh. And tell us a little bit about that. Why'd you do that? Why didn't, you know, some people could cower from that, but you didn't.
Well, I really didn't know any other opportunity, and it was what needed to be done at the time.
Uh-huh. Mark, earlier in the green room, you mentioned that your experiences led you, your discomfort to become your comfort. What did you mean by that, and how does it affect you today?
Well, I mean, because I need to understand my environment to survive, it's given me a skill set that I wouldn't have otherwise tapped into, and that skill set serves me well in practicing law.
Huh. Discomfort has become your comfort. Yeah, Brian asked you actually earlier, you know, when did you find your voice, and what was your thought about that? What was your
answer? I think my first thought was I'm still working on it, but as far as advocating and such, I think it was a very young age, maybe 4 or 5.
And what was the experience that you remember that from?
Well, I remember my family and mom used to get us into some interesting circumstances, and oftentimes I was the one that had to solve them.
So you were the one that was mitigating between what mom had created and getting you and her out of the situation.
That's certainly one way of putting it.
Uh-huh. I understand. Christine?
You really empathized with your mother and what she was going through with all those moves. Your dad, why did you move so much, by the way?
Well, my dad thought that happiness was a location, I think. He didn't really put it all together for him, so he was finding his way.
Mark, you certainly learned how to adapt to new situations, but What was the hardest part about saying goodbye to people that you spent some time, you know, getting to know?
Well, that was the whole thing. I couldn't look at it as goodbye because that's a crushing kind of conclusion. I was looking at the next door as a new opportunity as opposed to the last one as a goodbye.
What do you mean by that? Tell me more about that. What do you mean?
Well, I mean, when you move, it's a sad thing. Your world comes to an end and closes. And if you focus on that, it's certainly going to hamper you in your next environment. So rather than focus on the door closing, I learned to become more excited about the door that was about to open.
That's that whole thing about the discomfort becoming the comfort then again. You just keep on seeing that. I mean, everything that was painful, as opposed to looking at the pain, you saw the comfort in it. It's like, David, what are you picking up? What are you thinking?
I'm just curious, how did you create a sense of constancy in your life? I mean, did you do things as a kid? Did you immerse yourself in certain activities to sort of create common threads from the different locations that you found yourselves in?
Absolutely. Music, theater, fantasy.
All of the above.
All of the above.
So, Mark, how does all this experience, you actually said earlier in the green room that not only were you responsible for helping your mother through some of this, but you raised yourself primarily. A lot of your own independence came from just out of need of taking care of yourself. How does that help you in your practice today?
Well, it makes me self-reliant. It makes me comfortable in stressful situations. I know that I'm taking care of my client. I'm assessing that I'm taking on a giant oftentimes as my opponent. And it enables me to navigate that.
You seem undaunted by that, taking on giants. Is that because you took on so much responsibility as a kid?
That's a heavy question, but it probably has some correlation.
That's interesting. So as opposed to shirking from the challenge, you're right there. I mean, you've been through so much as a kid with trying to support mom and make situations better and, you know, for moving four times in fourth grade. You know, you've learned about consistency, creating consistency, as David mentioned, through all the inconsistency.
Survival's important.
Survival's important. Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about what your clients are going through? How do you empathize? You mentioned earlier to me also that you had experienced an injury yourself at one point, and it changed your perspective on things.
So I've been doing this for 20 years before I had my accident, and I was in the hot seat. In the hot seat meaning suffering from the injuries, meaning being the one deposed at trial, being watching the judge in front of us do whatever, and I had far less control in that environment, so it gave me enormous perspective as to what my clients are enduring.
So you understand what your clients are going through. You've walked in their shoes before.
That I do.
Uh-huh. So you appreciate where things aren't moving smoothly, you're able to help get them back on track.
And compassion is an important part of what we do also. It's not just the litigating, it's embracing the person.
Uh-huh. You ever find clients that were with a previous attorney and come to you?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Why does that happen?
I mean, a lot of different ways. Sometimes attorneys aren't so good at relating to their clients, making them feel comfortable. Sometimes attorneys are aloof and don't care. And sometimes a client needs a different voice.
You mentioned something about connection, and that was part of what you learned when you were younger as well. So how does connection help you with your practice, with your clients, with the jury, with everyone you're dealing with?
I think it's important that we see through the eyes of our clients, through the eyes of the jury, through the eyes of the judge, through the eyes of the corporation, and in so doing, it gives you the best opportunity to succeed.
So you like looking at everything through everybody else's eyes to understand what's really going on, to see it through their eyes. Uh-huh. When you were moving around, were you concerned about how the other kids perceived you? Is that where you learned that skill?
Well, I think you're concerned as a kid about what other kids perceive, but yeah, to navigate that is the skill.
And how'd you go about navigating that?
Sometimes making myself invisible, sometimes making myself bold, sometimes assessing what the audience needed or didn't need and trying not to embarrass myself.
So you... Boy, talk about adaptable. It wasn't just, you know, being separate or being connected. It was, you know, you really understood how to play your cards depending on the audience you were with.
I think that's true.
Uh-huh.
Mark, you had mentioned being able to see things through other people's eyes, but do you have a pretty strong sense of what your eyes are?
That's an interesting question. I'm working on that. that's an excellent question. Yes, because I can put my eyes in my own head as well.
Huh, interesting. What is this? We understand that, you know, this has had a pretty potent impact on you're building the law practice, because you really do empathize, you really do understand your clients. What's this done to your personal relationships? How do you, have long-term relationships, close relationships?
Wow. The answer is yes.
Personal ones, because you really covet, you really appreciate the relationships.
Right. And I also understand the what not having a relationship means. So I have a 19-year-old daughter. I have a life partner who she and I have been together for about 15 years now. And she has a wonderful 13-year-old daughter. I relish those things.
You relish what things?
The connection, the consistency, you know, the reliability.
Wow. Boy, I really get that loud and clear. What's the website address to this organization known as Mammoth and Rosenberg?
Plaintiff.com.
Let me have that one more time.
Plaintiff.com.
We've been speaking with Mark Rosenberg, managing and founding partner, Mammoth and Rosenberg, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. It's executiveleadersradio.com. We will be back in a moment right after this break. We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohn, with my co-host, Christine Miles, CI Squared, Brian Neary, Newmark, Rob Knight, Frank, Ethan Mill, Rod Goto, Phil Haregi, Saber Systems, David Hitt, Splat, Inc. And we would like to introduce Mike Sale, Managing Attorney, Cordisco and Sale. Michael, what is Cordisco and Sale? What are you guys doing?
Cordisco and Sale is a personal injury law firm. We practice in both Pennsylvania and New Jersey.
All right. And where are you from originally?
Originally from Northeast Philadelphia, the area of Parkwood.
Uh-huh. Tell us a little bit about that neighborhood. What would that neighborhood be like in terms of other kids and so on and so forth?
I grew up on a cul-de-sac, basically a U-shape, where we had a big field in the middle. And basically, so there were 60 kids on our block. About five of them were of the same age as I was.
Uh-huh. And I understand you moved in fourth grade.
I moved up to Bucks County, which is a suburban area outside of Philadelphia, to a single-family home.
Uh-huh. So, big deal. That's no big difference, is there?
Well, it was for me. I came from an environment where there was kids everywhere. We played all day long. Came out to the county where I was one in a mile, for example. I had a couple friends, but I was quiet at the time.
Mm-hmm. So this adjustment from growing up in the city in a row house where there were a home of 60 other kids around, we were playing all the time, going up to Bucks County where it was a single family home and you're alone and, you know, mom's got to drive you places, that could be pretty difficult. So tell what else did that do to you? How do you think that that affected you, that stuff?
Well, I was a quiet kid. I was shy. It was very difficult for me to make friends, and it had an effect on me, where at times I became bullied and, you know, threatened and had to fight with kids and had to fight my way through elementary school, basically.
Uh-huh. So what's that have to do with your law career?
Well, being bullied, I had to find ways to cope and to manage and to, you know, formulate a plan against my opposition, and basically it led me to be a trial lawyer as we are today.
Wait a minute. You're telling me that your experience is moving from the city where there were a bunch of kids near you to, you know, the fact that you were quiet and you got bullied when you moved to the new neighborhood and there weren't a lot of other kids and it was a different environment and the other kids had already had other relationships. You're telling me that really had an effect on you when you're wanting to be an attorney and on your law career?
Well, I think I have a family of attorneys. My father and his two brothers are attorneys, so it kind of led me into that field naturally. But they are not injury trial attorneys. An injury attorney has to be prepared. You have to be independent. You have to have a mental fortitude to basically take on well-funded opponents and well-experienced opponents being powerful insurance companies.
Part of this is being prepared. What should your clients know about the insurance companies in advance?
Well, they hire defense attorneys from big law firms that have great experience. They fund the cases with lots of money for experts, and they'll do anything they can to minimize the value of your case. Mm-hmm. And that's where we come in to try to counteract that and get them a fair resolution.
Gotcha.
Ethan. Wow, you really work with the underdogs. You talked a little bit about being the underdog when you were a kid, too, right?
Yeah, so throughout my childhood, through high school when I joined the wrestling team at Council Rock, we had to, you know, train. We had to become mentally and physically strong, because once you go out on the mat, you know, it's mano y mano. You know, it's up to you to make that move and to, you know, to win, basically. It's a team sport, but it's up to you. And I had to take that further into the law, you know, to have that mental fortitude to fight against these giants that, that come against us.
Mm-hmm. Philip?
Yeah. Like when you moved to Bucks County, was there some of the bullying was a result of maybe, say, snobbery? Was there a socioeconomic part to it? So do you still see yourself as like this kid from the Northeast just scrapping it out against, you know, these bourgeois types?
I don't think at that age, at fourth grade, it was a big deal. That came into more in high school. But by the time I was in high school, I've grown physically, mentally, and stronger. So I could, you know, I didn't feel that bullying anymore. Mm-hmm. But it was more of me just being more of a quiet kid in a new environment, a little bit shy. And these were kids that were been friends since kindergarten. So it was tough for me.
David?
At what point did you begin to feel like you fit in your new environment? And what do you think, what factors are responsible for beginning to feel like you fit in?
Well, I guess we never really feel like we fit in when you come from a background like this, because, you know, you're always fighting. You're always trying to, especially as I take it into the career, which we're here for today, is, you know, you're trying to resolve claims for people that have been wrongly treated, who are again being fought against in court. And it's never, you're always trying to, it's always a battle. So it's a tough way of a profession, but it's noble. And when you can carry the day home and have a nice recovery for our clients, it's you know, it makes everybody feel better.
Okay. Mike, you talked about dad earlier. How about mom? What did mom do, and how did mom? What effect did mom have on you?
My mom was a teacher. She taught in a Catholic school in Southampton, Pennsylvania, for 30 years. She basically taught us that, you know, money wasn't everything. That we had to become better people, and that kind of gave me more of a personal side. More, my dad was the more the accountant, the lawyer, and you know, taught me the business strengths and how to persevere.
Mike, you said you lived in the city as an adult for 12 years, and you had kids, and you moved out to the suburbs. So, what's the similarity between your experience as a kid and now as a dad helping your kids through that experience?
Yeah, so one thing I wanted to do is move them out of the city when they were younger than I was. So we moved them out pre-K. My wife is actually an attorney also, and she was a criminal prosecutor in the state of Delaware. So we kind of lived halfway between, but I grew up in the county, and that's where we wanted to move our kids. And now I have three great little boys, and you know, things are a little bit easier.
So how do you want them to learn the resilience that you learned?
I want them to learn the ethic of hard work, persistence, and, of course, the entrepreneurial spirit, which has made me a partner in a law firm that's growing and can actually take on responsibility and meet that head on.
How long has your law firm been around?
Well, law firm is actually in its second year. I've ran my own firm for about 10 years, and my partner's ran his own firm for about 20 years, bringing together many years of experience. We basically created our firm from the ground up.
So mm-hmm. What's the difference between you and your partner today?
The difference is we are about 20 years, 25 years difference in age. He comes from a background where he was, I guess, poor as a kid and had to fight through economic downturns and became a congressman in the state of Pennsylvania at the age of 21. So he's fought his way up, and now he's a political party chairman in Bucks County. So he brings that tenacity and dedicatedness to help me learn from him to get the best result for our clients.
Mike, when you grew up in that cul-de-sac, you mentioned there was a core group of boys that were together and were fast friends. Is that what you're creating at your practice?
Well, I think so. We were all of like-minded ideas. We pushed the envelope. We came together to create a practice focused on two things, basically getting the best results for our client, going above and beyond, but also delivering the best customer service. So we did this together to build something really big.
Mike, what's the website address of this organization known as Cordisco and Sale?
Sure, it's cordiscosale.com.
How do you spell that?
CORDISCOSAILE.com.
Let me have that one more time.
Cordiscosale.com, CORDISCOSAILE.com. SAILE.com.
We've been speaking with Mike Sale, Managing Attorney, Cordisco & Sale here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. It's executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, we'll be back in a moment right after this break. We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, Christine Miles, CI Squared, Brian Neary, Newmark Grubb Knight Frank, Ethan Milrod, GoTo, Phil Haregi, Sabre Systems, and David Hitt, Splat, Inc. I'd like to introduce Stuart Carpy, attorney at law, Carpy Law. Stuart, what is Carpy Law? What are you guys doing?
Carpy Law is a personal injury law firm.
Mm-hmm.
We practice in Philadelphia, surrounding counties, and the entire Philadelphia area.
Where are you from originally?
I'm from Delaware County.
What kind of area was Delaware County for our national audience?
Well, Delaware County, when I grew up, was fairly quiet. It was before the Blue Route.
Mm-hmm.
How many brothers? It's a little more developed.
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I'm the youngest of three older brother.
Right. And what kind of what did Dad do for a living?
My dad had an interesting career and still does. He was he was in the cemetery business.
And what were you? How young were you when you started making money?
He put me to work working at the cemetery when I was 14 years old.
What were you doing when you were 14 years old at the cemetery?
Well, I cut the grass and I dug graves for a living.
Uh-huh. And tell us a little bit about what kind of sports did you play as a kid?
As a kid, I played a lot of sports. Baseball when I was mm-hmm. at Little League age, and mm-hmm.
You mentioned wrestling, soccer and rugby. Soccer, what was the common rugby. What was the common effect you had on all those teams?
I had to work at a high level to compete and to mm-hmm. Play well. And
so you really felt the competition. And when you were a kid, your dad, you mentioned that Dad put you to work at 14 digging graves. And what did you think about digging graves when all your friends are out there playing?
Oh, for me, it was kind of like being on a park.
What do you mean? Why do you enjoy it?
Well, I enjoyed the hard work. Uh-huh. I enjoyed being around my dad, and I observed his work ethic and the work ethic of the guys I was working with.
What did you think about the guys you were working with?
Well, they came from completely different backgrounds and walks of life, and I learned to work with them and work as a team and what we
so
needed
they were,
to do.
They were digging graves, you know, as a career, and as opposed to you thinking that they were beneath you, you told us earlier you really enjoyed hanging out with them.
Oh, yeah. They had great, great senses of humor, and mm-hmm. they were very skilled at what they did.
How's that affect your practice of law?
Well, I learned from them hard work mm-hmm. and skills that are required in anything, and working together as a team to get the job
but
done.
But how about the fact that, you know, as opposed to feeling like they were beneath you because your father owned the cemetery, you sort of like hung out for him. You actually told us that one of them, his wife would bring you lunch. His wife would bring you cornbread for lunch.
Yeah, Lindsay, who I'm still in touch with today.
So you really have a relationship with people. You're not judging people based on how much money they make or anything like that.
No, not at all. I have a relationship with all sorts of people and did then.
How's that help you with your law practice?
Well, today, you know, in my law practice, I have to relate to people from all walks of life.
That's what I needed to hear. Who's got the next question?
You also talked earlier, Stuart, about the importance of your clients being informed. How early did that show up for you? And what's the importance of that today?
Well, in our area, consumers are don't have enough information about what needs to be done in all stages of the personal injury case. And to some degree, I view it as my mission to give consumers and my clients information all along the case.
Where'd you learn that from?
Well, I learned that from just through my schooling and education and the
How did it help you in rugby? How yeah. did it help you in rugby? You played that through college, right?
Yeah, I did. So just, you know, communication with the other guys on the team and those types of things.
So you learned about preparation. You like being prepared.
Well, listen, if you're going to be a team player, you have to be prepared.
Does some of that come from your mother's profession? Isn't there a lot of research the type of work that she did, and if you can tell the audience what that is?
Sure. My mom was a writer, worked with my dad to some degree, but was an independent writer herself, and she instilled in me a voracious habit of reading and writing from an early age.
So that's where the research and preparedness comes from.
Absolutely, and as a personal injury lawyer, you have to read a ton and write a ton, and it's got to be good work.
David, what do you think?
Stuart, I'm curious to know, like, how early your interest in law might have expressed itself. If I were your, like, third or fourth grade teacher, would I have been able to have guessed that you'd become a lawyer someday?
Maybe. I think I asked my parents for a subscription to U.S. News and World Report magazine when I was 10 years old. So I started reading at a young age, and then I was an English major at college and clerked for a solo practitioner when I was a sophomore in college, and knew at that point that that was a field that I wanted to go into and wanted to be a solo practitioner.
So your interests were sort of influenced both by your mom and your dad, it sounds like.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just hearing the stories about running a business around the kitchen table all through my childhood and younger years instilled in me the importance of running a business in the right way.
Brian?
In the green room, you talked about sports and a common thread between those sports. What was that?
Well, it takes hard work to keep up with what you can expect your opponents to bring to the table. Perseverance, preparedness, all of that comes into play in anything you're doing athletically. And without going too far afield, that's what you have to do when you're a practicing personal injury attorney these days.
Stuart, you are a solo practitioner, but you also mentioned that for some of the bigger cases, you will bring in some help. So where does that come from? Like, where and how did you learn to know your limitations and what you do best?
That's a great question. You have to be a team player. You have to bring in experts to prove your case in a personal injury case. And as a solo, I can't cover all the bases at one time, and I can't be in, for instance, two courtrooms at one time. So if need be, I bring in other players, and they bring me in on their cases as well.
So it is still a team sport.
Absolutely.
Stuart, that's an emotional skill, assessing strengths and people's talents. You talked about high performance in sports. Brian was asking a little bit about that. So how did you learn to assess strengths and talent to bring in and really leverage that as part of a team to make the best performance?
Well, I think that as you go through life, you pick up different skills in different things that you're doing. As somebody that's always been interested in athletics and still am, working with other people on the team and assessing what their skills are is just part of what you need to do to keep improving.
Do you ever coach or teach? What do you do in your personal life?
I do coach and I do teach. I've been a martial arts teacher for almost 20 years, and I think it's important to give back to the community. And that's what I do in most of my spare time.
What do you mean? Why are you doing that? What's in it for you? What do you enjoy about that? And what do you mean giving back to the community? What are you talking about?
Peak performance is important to me, both on a business level, at a professional level, and a personal level. And what I view as what's important is bringing peak performance out in other people and giving people a sense of confidence in whatever skills they need to develop.
All right. How do you do that?
Well, first of all, in my business and my professional practice, it's teaching my clients how to be confident in what they need to do to partner with me in their personal injury case. They're going to be tested both at their deposition, through the litigation of the case, and at trial. So my job is to prepare them for peak performance. And in my personal life and what I teach privately, it's also about having people be prepared at a peak level for whenever they might need that.
Wow.
And today you're the proud parent of three kids, right?
I am.
What's the similarity between being an attorney and being a dad?
shuffling a lot of plates from time to time.
Mm-hmm. Stuart, Stuart, back to this preparedness thing. What's one thing that somebody should know before they even are involved in a personal injury? You were talking about knowing in advance. So what's one thing you should know?
The opponent that we are going to face is never going to give up, and they have to be prepared for a longer road than they expect, and that they're going to be examined throughout the case.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't there something about the insurance companies as well?
Sure. I mean, the insurance companies are highly financed, and They are tough competitors, and insurance companies are not going to give the consumer, certainly not my client, information. And I think it's important that lawyers, particularly in this day, provide the consumers and their clients with as much information as possible.
Is it something the consumer should know now, even before there's, you know, unfortunately, any kind of an incident, any kind of advice you can give them in terms of what they should be looking for in their insurance policies or stuff like that?
My mission as a business owner in the area of personal injury law is to provide consumers with as much information as I can put out there so they can be informed about what's expected and what they can expect before they're involved in any type of accident or injury case.
Mm-hmm. What's the website address for
the Carpe? Website is carpelaw.com, carpelaw.com.
Carpe Law. We've been speaking with Stuart Carpe, attorney at law, Carpe Law, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. That's executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, we will be back in a moment right after this break. We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Steve Wolf, attorney at law, Stephen E. Wolf, attorney at law. Stephen, what is Stephen E. Wolf, attorney at law? What are you guys doing?
I have been representing seriously injured people for 38 years.
And when you say seriously injured people, what kind of stuff has happened to them where you represent them?
We represent all types of injuries, and to the person who's injured, every injury is serious. Mm-hmm. So we represent people in motor vehicle, slip and fall, nursing home abuse, medical malpractice, and other things.
Where are you from originally?
I grew up in Northeast Philadelphia around Welsh and the Boulevard.
Uh-huh. And what kind of neighborhood was that for our national audience?
That was a blue-collar neighborhood. My family moved around several times. Ended up there when I was from fourth grade until I was into college.
Mm-hmm. And so Welsh and his row houses.
They were twins.
Twins, excuse me. Oh, that's even better. Okay. And how young were you when you started making money?
I started making money at 14. I was forced into it by my father.
And what did that encourage you to do? What kind of job were you doing?
Well, I was washing dishes in a Chinese restaurant.
You were washing dishes in a Chinese restaurant when you were 14.
I was.
And how'd you feel about that?
I wasn't happy about it. I was a young kid. I wanted to do other things, and my dad said, you're going to learn how to make money, and you're going to learn responsibility.
Mm-hmm. What'd your dad do for a living?
My dad drove a truck for a diaper service.
Uh-huh. So you were working as a dishwasher, and what'd you learn from washing dishes that you use every day in your law practice?
Well, I learned how to be responsible. I learned how to earn what you get. And I learned that nobody gets anything for nothing.
What'd you do different than all the other kids that had that job washing dishes?
Well, I was there for a short time mm-hmm. because I moved on to another job after that mm-hmm. where I remained for about 7 years. But, you know, I just, I worked hard. Mm-hmm. I worked hard. I went to school and it taught mm-hmm. me a lot of lessons. Mm-hmm.
So what was it that got you interested in the legal career?
To the best of my memory, it was watching To Kill a Mockingbird. And I was really impressed with Gregory Peck and the character that he played, Atticus Finch. And I saw that character as wanting to help people and to do the right thing, and that was important to me.
You talked earlier in the green room about another interest that you had growing up, and perhaps To Kill a Mockingbird got you into that too. Can you tell us a little bit about that interest?
Well, I eventually developed an interest in theater, and I followed that interest when I was in high school. I was on the stage in high school on a number of productions. I was in dinner theater. In high school, we went to a competition at the Bucks County Playhouse, and I won Best Supporting Actor in that. And I was also recruited for a college production while I was still in high school and did well with that as well.
That's fantastic. What's the similarities between acting and today being a litigator?
Well, in acting, you're convincing an audience that you are the character that you're playing. When you're in front of a jury, and I do a lot of jury work, when you're in front of a jury, you have to convince the jury that what you're telling them is accurate. You have to convince them that your client is in the right. And those skills that I developed while acting have helped me tremendously as an attorney, as a trial attorney specifically.
Next question, who's got it here?
Yeah, where does the empathy for your clients come from? Is that something that you got from your mom?
I got that from both of my parents. One thing, my parents taught me many things, obviously, but something that stands out in my mind in particular is that you treat people the way you want to be treated. Everybody is equal. Everybody's the same. You're no better than anybody else. And everybody has their own story, their own background that you don't know. So don't judge and treat them the way you want to be treated.
Steve, you're particularly close to your mother, you said, and you got your love of the arts from her.
Yes.
Tell us some more about your mom and how she, what you take to work for from her every day.
Well, my mom was a housewife, primarily. She worked outside the home periodically, but she was primarily a housewife. And she taught me how to be organized. She taught me how to take care of myself, how to take care of other people. And just how to be a good person generally. I mean, if I were to say one thing that she taught me to do that I still take with me today is to how to be a good person.
You're still very close with her, you said?
I am, yeah. She is 84 years old, and she's doing great.
David, what do you think? What do you
Steve, you mentioned that you, before maybe even perhaps you had a love for the law, you had a love for acting and the theater. Was there ever a point in time where you considered becoming an actor rather than a lawyer, and what made you choose the law rather than the theater?
I did. I mean, I wanted to be in the spotlight from an early age. I wanted to be a sports announcer. I wanted to be in the theater, and I had friends who took that route, and I very nearly did. When I enrolled at Temple University, I enrolled in the radio, television, and film program, and very quickly realized that I'm not going to make much of a living doing that unless I'm at the very top and very lucky, and I decided to go the other route, to take law.
Okay. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about that life choice beyond the financial?
I think I made a good decision. I think I would still like to be on the stage at some point. That's out of the question at my age, but I think I made a good choice.
When you're on stage, I'm imagining you in front of the jury, the judge, your clients, the opponent. What does that feel like for you, and why are you inspired by that?
Well, the part of practicing that I dislike the most is the preparation. And you have to prepare in this business. If you don't prepare, you're going to be run over. So I don't like the preparation particularly, but that's what we have to do and that's what I do. But what really gets me going is when the red light goes on, so to speak, and the trial starts. And that's the part that I like the most.
Philip?
Steve, do either of your parents tell you about how proud they are of your success?
My mother more than my dad. I think my dad takes for granted that I know how proud he is. As he gets older, he tells me more. My mother tells me all the time, and I appreciate that more than I can say.
Mm. What's the best part of your job?
The best part of my job is helping people and seeing that they recognize that I've helped them. I have a website, and on the website we post an awful lot of letters, emails, comments that we get from clients that are very, very supportive and very, very complimentary. And when I get one of those in the mail, that's what makes it all worthwhile. It's hard work, but that makes it worthwhile.
So you like being appreciated, huh?
Pardon me?
So you like being appreciated.
I do like that. I think everybody likes to be appreciated. And
that's your applause.
What's the that's the applause. What's the website address for your law office?
It is wolflawoffice.com.
How do you spell that?
WOLFELAWOFFICE.com.
We've been speaking with Steve Wolf, attorney at law, Stephen E. Wolf, attorney at law, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Christine, can you give us a quick rundown on who we've had on the air today, please?
Sure. We had a great show, Herb. Mark Rosenberg, a managing and founding partner, Mammoth and Rosenberg. Mike Sale, managing attorney, Cardisco and Sale LLC. Stuart Carpy, attorney at law, Carpy Law. And Steve Wolf, attorney at law, Stephen E. Wolf, attorney at law.
I would like to thank my co-hosts, Christine Miles, CI Squared, Brian Neary, Newmark, Grub Knight, Frank, Ethan Milrod, GoTo, Phil Haregi, Saber Systems, and David Hitt, Splat Inc., for giving me a hand structuring the questions. Hope you're providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. I'd like to thank our listening audience for listening. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a radio show. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders, executiveleadersradio.com. Thank you for joining us. Have a nice day. Bye-bye.